This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Father, we thank you for how you have ministered unto us thus far. We thank you for all the ministers that have spoken and led us in prayer and in worship, in singing, and in rejoicing. Lord, we say to you alone be all glory and honor in the name of Jesus. We thank you, blessed Redeemer. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen. We're going to take a few prayers before we get into the word. And the reason is very simple. The Bible is a book of examples. Amen. That's why the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, these things that happened to them have been written unto us for our examples. So there are many examples for us to learn from in the Bible. But there is a problem with understanding. You can read the Bible and just read. And you can have a mental note of the things that you have read. Doesn't mean you have understood what you read. Okay? So you can have knowledge without understanding. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said about the children of Israel? He said, I can testify that the children of Israel, they have a zeal, but their zeal is without knowledge. So you can have knowledge, you may misunderstand it. Understanding is comprehension of the knowledge that you have. Listen to this. This is Jesus speaking in Luke chapter 24. And this is the first prayer point we're going to take before we look into the word. Luke chapter 24 and verse 45. Luke 24, 45. The Bible says, Then opened he their understanding that they may understand scriptures. They have read, they have known scriptures, but they did not have an understanding. Amen? Amen. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. I want you to pray tonight. Say, Father.
Father.
Please say like you mean it. Say, Father.
Father.
In the name of Jesus. Give me understanding of scriptures tonight. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray. When you understand the scriptures, it transforms your life. Hallelujah. Understanding scripture is key. It does not matter how eloquent the preacher is. The preacher can give the word eloquently. If there is no understanding, that word is useless. You can hear and say, oh, that was a good word. When you cannot apply it, it means you have not understood what you have read, what you have heard. Say, Father, tonight I pray for understanding. Lord, those things that you have already spoken tonight, Lord, give me understanding of them. Even that which you will yet speak tonight, Lord, give me understanding. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
You know, this is the reason why in a church, everybody is hearing the same sermon. Everybody is hearing the same pastor. They are here. It's the same anointing. It's the same everything. But some are prospering by the word, and some are left behind. You will not be left behind.
Amen.
Because God will give you understanding.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, as I've spent time in God's presence, just seeking his face, one of the things the Lord told me is crucial for us at this time that we don't miss is, let me read the scripture to you. Let's open to Luke chapter 19. If you have been following our summer challenge, today we just finished John chapter 4. So for those that have been lazy, that have not joined, you just missed an opportunity to read the whole gospel in a shot. You know, if you have been consistent, today you should have read John chapter 3 and 4. But Luke 19, Luke 19, verse 44. This is Jesus speaking here. If you have the red letter Bible, like mine, it should be in red letters. This is Jesus prophesying against Jerusalem. Jesus prophesied against Jerusalem, and this is what it says. In verse 44, it says, "And they shall lay thee even with the ground." It means Jerusalem will be leveled. That's what Jesus was saying to them. "And thy children within it." He's saying the Jerusalem will be leveled with their children in it. "And they shall not leave in Jerusalem one stone upon another." You know why? "Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." Let me tell you how that applies to us today. When you don't know what God is doing at a particular time and season, you are not different from Jerusalem. Because great things will happen and those people will miss it. God has promised us a time of visitation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Only one person called that. That's good. God will visit with you. Yeah. God will visit with all of us. I'm just kidding. You know that. It says the reason destruction is come to Jerusalem is because a time of visitation came and they missed it. You know, one of the things I've seen about the ministry of Jesus, in fact, some people, they didn't even ask him for anything. He just prayed for them and delivered them. Very simple, very easy. But today, we like theatrics. You know, that's why we have lights, we have all of this, everything is blink, blink. You know, so that it can be more, better perception for our eyes. But God does not need lights to move. Do you understand? Yeah. It doesn't need blink, blink. It doesn't need all of this. This is just for us. All this Ephesi is just for our own sake. It does not bother God. Many times God is moving, people have missed it. People have missed it. I believe God wants to do something uniquely different in somebody's life tonight. I strongly, listen to me. This is, I'm not saying this so that you can say amen. I'm telling you, as a consequence of the time I have spent in his presence, that this is a time of visitation. Why don't you lift both hands to God? It's like a mark of surrender. Say, Lord, as you visit tonight, may I not miss your visitation. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and talk to the Lord. Some of us, God already visited with us. If you missed it, then God will bring it again to you. In the name of Jesus. It says they missed the time of visitation. Therefore, destruction came to them. You will not miss your time of visitation tonight. In the name of Jesus. Lekatomaya radabakostolo predia. Lekanda radabo shantalia ragada. Ekaradabo shantalia ragada. Ekatakata le prodokosontalia. Ekarono shantalia ragada. Ekatopradia ragado santalia. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, mighty God. We give you praise, we give you glory. In the name of Jesus, everywhere you went, you were doing good. And Lord, your word says, where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in their midst. Lord, we are convinced you are here tonight. Lord, let there be a visitation indeed. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jehovah. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. You know, at the time Jesus sent the disciples, he said, go on to the other side, I will join you there. The Bible says, as they were toiling in rowing because the wind was contrary to them, they had a lot of problems. They had a lot of struggle. Why? Because the wind was blowing against them. Amen. And then they saw Jesus walking on water. You know, when they saw him, they thought he was a ghost. All right? So they were all afraid. They couldn't even yell for help. They were afraid. It's a ghost on top of this problem. This is a big problem. Storm at sea. And then a ghost shows up. And then they found out it was Jesus. And Jesus came on the ship. And as soon as he came, there was calm at sea. Open to Psalm 44. Psalm 44. Psalm 44, verse 26. Hallelujah. 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 Because I am convinced that some of us are toiling in rowing at this time. Amen?
Amen.
Times are hard. Things are difficult. If God was next door to you right now, there are certain things you will say to him. Hallelujah. You are toiling in ruin. The Bible says, arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. When Jesus showed up on that boat, he took care of their problem. If you will ask him to come into your boat tonight, it will take care of every problem. Amen. You know, before you pray, listen to this. A lot of people have gotten used to their problem. It's become part of life. You know, it's just part of life. And you have accepted it. You reject it tonight.
Amen.
I reject it for you tonight.
Amen.
Oh, I say, I reject it for you tonight.
Amen.
I want you to pray. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, arise for my help. And redeem me by your mercies. In the name of Jesus, go ahead and pray. Say, Father, arise for my help. Arise for my help. I ask for my help. Your word says, he that asketh, receiveth. Whoever asks will receive. Lord, I ask tonight for your help. Lord, help. Help me, O Lord. Help me, O Lord. Times are hard. Things are difficult. My God and my Father, O Lord God of heaven, arise for my help, O God. Help. Help me, O Lord. Help me, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Very quickly, because I don't want us to just preach and then we go the same. You will not go home the same way you came. In the name of Jesus. Psalm 46, verse 5. Psalm 46, verse 5. It says, God is in the midst of her. God is here tonight. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. How about you say, God is in our midst tonight. Adekoye Sonny shall not be moved. Say, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. God will help you and he will help you speedily. God will help you early. You will receive the help of God. You will receive help from the Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Why don't you pray and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, send help to me early. Send help to me early. Make haste, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Make haste to help me tonight. Now, 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 in the name of Jesus. Make haste to help me, Lord. Make haste to help me, Lord. I will not be put to shame. You will not be put to shame. Jesus will visit you in your situation. Jesus will arise for your help in your hour of need. In the name of Jesus. For the disciples, in their hour of need, Jesus showed up. In your hour of need, Jesus will show up. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Jehovah, I give you praise tonight. Lord, you are the risen Lord, the risen Savior. Our help in time of need. Lord, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, your word says, he that asketh will receive. It means if we shut our mouth, we refuse to ask, then we get nothing. That is why we have cried unto you. Because, Lord, we know that you are the God that hears and answers prayers. And unto you shall all flesh come. Unto you we have come tonight, knowing that you are the God that hears and answers. Lord, as we have cried, Daddy, please hear us from above tonight and grant our petitions in the name of Jesus. We thank you, blessed Redeemer. We give you praise and we give you glory. For in Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. You may please be seated. Thank you very much, choir. Let's put our hands together for the choir. Hallelujah. They have led us well. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's keep encouraging them. Let's keep encouraging them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is totally off topic, but I'm going to say it because it's high, very strongly impressed on my heart. If you are in church and you consider this to be your home church, you are a regular, you know, you are a member, and you are not yet serving, I implore you to begin to serve. A lot of those that are serving are getting tired at your expense. And that's the truth. A lot of those that are serving are getting weary. Amen? Because the same people that are in choir are in media, the same people in the media are in hospitality, the same in hospitality, some of them double in choir, some run to technical, some are in charge of video camera. They are just all over the place. You know, and one thing I've been encouraging the workers, you know, there's no way you serve the way you're serving that God will not bless you. There are many blessings. I'm not talking, there's no shortage of blessings. Amen?
Amen.
There are many blessings. Many blessings. But I tell a few that I've spoken to, your primary reason why you came to church is not to do work. The primary reason you came to church is to be fed spiritually. But because it's just a few people working, they are working and serving at the expense of others. If there's more people working, like ushers, then we don't have to have the same people ushering every service. Then we can have a roster of four people, this service. And then on Sunday is a new set of people. The following Sunday is a new set of people. It's a word for the wise. Amen?
Amen.
And I want you to pay attention to that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Our Bible reading, our text for tonight is Isaiah 60, and I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1, as Dr. Bode mentioned earlier, is our scripture for the month of August. And it reads, "Arise, shine, for your light is come." Somebody say, "My light is come."
My light has come.
"And the glory of the Lord is risen upon me. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee." It says, regardless of what is happening to everybody, your experience will be different. Regardless of what the situation is around you, your experience will be different. Since your amen is not so, my experience will be different. And listen. It says, "But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee."
Amen.
It means not only are you filled with the glory of God, that glory will be made manifest in your life.
Amen.
You know, there are some blessings. You don't need to tell anybody I'm blessed. Once people look at you, especially those that knew you before, they will say, "You are blessed." They will just know it. They will know it. You know, a friend of mine told me, he said, when you go to Nigeria, it doesn't matter how you try to be like you never left. They will know. because your skin is different. You have the tone of your skin is very different. It's softer. You know, the sun has not beaten you much. You have been from AC to AC. He said, the glory of the Lord will be seen upon you. Listen, and it says, and the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. When the Bible says, arise, the first thing you must ask yourself, what does arise mean? To arise means to get up. To arise means to stand up. It means you were in maybe a sitting position before, or you were lying down. When you are sitting or lying down, it's an indication that you are stagnant and you are not making progress. Nobody ever sits down and they are moving. Nobody ever does that. It is an indication that things have come to a head, and you are not making progress or not making progress as much as you should be making progress. Let me tell you tonight, I have it by the authority of God. This has been my prayer all week, that there will be a restoration. All week. That has been my prayer. A restoration. The Bible says the path of the righteous man is like a shining light that shines more and more until the perfect day. It means in the book of God, in the plan and the program of God for your life should be getting better and better. It means I must never come to a time in my life that I sit down and I look back and I remember better days than where I am today. That is an abomination. And believe me, there are many people under the sound of my voice today, whether live, present here, listening on radio, on internet, wherever, that their lives now are not as good as it was before. Amen? And this is the reason the Lord will restore you.
Amen.
You will arise again.
Amen.
You are not hearing me. I say you will arise again.
Amen.
Listen, Samson was only foolish. I said this last Sunday. Amen? Because the Bible says, even though he revealed his secret to Bathsheba, and they cut the locks off his head, and he became powerless, little did he know that the hair had started to grow again. Read the scripture, that's what it says. The word again is very important. He said his hair began to grow again. It means restoration had come to him, but he didn't know it. Foolishly, he said, let me die with my enemies today, and he died. Watch the words you speak from your mouth. Because as you have spoken in his ears, so he will do to you. That's what the Bible says. Numbers 14:28. He said, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. I want you to say tonight, I will arise again. Oh, wherever I am now is not my permanent station. It's not my permanent location. I will arise again. I will arise again. I will arise again. I will arise again. This is the reason David cried to God. Psalm 57 and verse 8. Awake! Awake up my glory. Hallelujah. Psalm 57 verse 8. Awake up my glory. Awake psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. He discovered that stagnancy had come, even though many people are enjoying their stagnancy. Wow. They say, at least money is coming in. Money is coming in. Money is coming in. At least I'm making a living. You will stop making a living, you will be living life.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When you are making a living, that is subsistence living. Subsistence living. It's different from living. Two different things. Many people are down, but God will pick you up.
Amen.
I say Jehovah will pick you up.
Amen.
I'm going to give you 5 examples of people that arose again from scripture. Hallelujah. There's a story that I'm sure we are all very familiar with, We call them the four lepers. The four lepers, you know the story in the book of Kings. 2 Kings chapter 7, we're not going to read it. You know the story. If you don't know it, when you get home, please read it. 2 Kings chapter 7. The Bible says the city of Samaria was besieged. No man could go out, no man could come in. Whatever they had left, they had eaten. Everybody is now hungry. In fact, people are beginning to think of killing themselves and eating. They became cannibals, pretty much. Hallelujah. And there were four lepers outside the city gate. Listen very closely to me. God gave me a perfect illustration for this today, and it blew my mind. There were four lepers at the gate. God said to me that the four lepers, the leprosy they had was like a limitation that the enemy has placed upon them. And this is how the Lord explained it to me. It's like those four lepers, it's like, you know, America went through, the world went through an economic depression, 2008, right? He said that economic depression is like the famine in Samaria. He said the four lepers are like people like yourself and myself, many of us listening to me tonight that are immigrants. The lepers could not enter the city because of their leprosy. If they entered the city, they would stone them to death. They knew that, so they stayed outside the city limits. Many of us immigrants, you have disadvantage of accent. Once you open your mouth, you speak, they know you are not from here. They say, I like your accent. Where is that from? It's a lie. It's just a polite way of finding out where you're from. They say, oh, I like your accent. Where are you from? You know a good comeback from that? Oh, I like your accent too. Where is it from? Are you from Dallas or you are from New York? If you know American accent, New York accent is different. That one I know. Kashina is a typical example. YouTube. That's a good comeback from, but that's not where we're going. And many of us, like Dr. Bode said, he studied, is the example tonight. He studied in Russia with his wife. Studied medicine. They finished, graduated doctors. They could begin to practice medicine in Russia, but Russia is not home. They went to Nigeria. Can you imagine? Even their own country rejected them and said, you have to do this thing again. You have to take the exam. They had to take an exam in Nigeria. Amen? And then they came to America, had to do it all over again. Here's what the Lord said to me. He said the four lepers are like a professional that came from a foreign country into a new country. And you have all these limitations that have been put around you. These limitations that are barriers that have been put around you. It is worse that there is famine in the city. There is economic depression. Even the ones that are born in the land can't get a job. The ones that are like yourself, that were trained in the land, can't get a job. And then you now bring a foreign degree and you are competing with those that studied in the land for the same job. Here's what the Lord said to me. He said, we must be strategic like those lepers. Because here's what the lepers did. When you read the story, when the lepers, they looked at their options. That was what they did. They looked at their options. They said, you know what? If we go into the city, they will kill us. If we go to the enemy's camp, maybe, perhaps, they will spare our lives. At least there's a hope there. There's no hope. Even in the city, the people are already killing themselves to eat. Amen? So they said, let's go this route. And then the Lord gave me another illustration. Do you know when Apple started with the main aim of taking over from Microsoft? You know that? Yes. If you don't know, that's the story. That's the story. But when Apple started, they saw that they couldn't compare with Microsoft, with their Windows, and their products. Yes. You know what they did? They branched out. They started iTunes. They started all kinds of things that gave them recognition. People now know them. And then how many Apple people do we have in the house tonight? You see? Not everybody. Samsung is the king. You see, I don't, if I say Samsung now, the whole place will go ablaze. Do you understand what I'm saying? But they studied the market and they introduced something new because they realized they couldn't compete. They couldn't. The thing you must do because of your limitation, you know what the leper said to themselves in verse 9? 2 Kings, or is it 1 Kings? 1 Kings. 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 5. Look at verse 5. Don't fall asleep back there, please. And they rose up in the twilight. They arose. They got up and they did something. Friends, you must arise from where you are in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You must arise from where you are. Amen. Many people, even people that studied in this land, guess what? They are taking all kinds of certifications to add to what they have to be better and be competitive in the market. To be competitive in the marketplace. You must arise. You must arise from where you are because there's a greater place God is taking you. There's a greater destination that God has for you, and it is not where you are. Hallelujah. You are better than this. Look at your neighbor and say to them, you are better than this. Oh, say to the other neighbor, that other neighbor is not looking serious. Look at him, say, you are better than this. You are better than this. You are better than this. You know, many believers, listen to me. Many Christians have become extremely lazy. They just want to pray, and God will do it. Okay. There is no problem with ability with God. Are you listening to me? When it comes to ability, God has ability. But there are requirements that you must fulfill. There are certain things you must do. How many of us know that if you don't brush your teeth, God will not brush it for you? You will just decay. And guess what? Everything you ask, people will be saying yes quickly because they don't want you to talk any further. They just want you to say, and say, be quiet. We have had. Okay. That's it. God, no angel will brush your teeth for you. That is so basic. If we understand that, why do you think that in these other things, angels will do it for you? Oh, favor me, oh Lord, favor me. But you are not doing anything. You must arise. Say to that neighbor again, say, arise.
Arise.
And consider your options. In the name of Jesus. Number two person that arose, Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, I love this. In fact, I preached on this about 4 or 5 years ago. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. God appeared to Joshua. Listen to what God said. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Amen. Moses, my servant, Victor, is dead. Is dead. He said, now therefore, arise. Arise. You know what? A Moses in your life will represent a mentor or maybe an uncle, somebody that promised you some money or promised you some connection that is no longer available to you anymore. I think it was Dr. Bode that gave this example too, of some guy, some uncle, some big shot that was going to help him get a job in Nigeria. Some guy was going to help him get a job. Before the guy could, the uncle, daddy we will call him, before daddy could help him, daddy was removed from the position or he passed on. He died. He died. You know, some people, that's the story they'll be telling. Oh, I would have made it big if that uncle that wanted to help me had not died. I would have done this if that person that wanted to help me had not died. If they have not disappointed, I would have made it. I would have been better than this if they would have not disappointed. God is saying that situation is dead. Is somebody listening to me tonight? He said, it is dead, it is gone, it is done with. You know, this was one of the things that God used to realign my thinking in America. Because every time I'll be thinking, I threatened many times to go back to Nigeria. Because at the time I came here, I was on sabbatical leave for 1 year. So they were paying my salary. My office was locked. My office was there. My stuff was there. I could go back. So I will always threaten, I'm going back to Nigeria. I can't take this anymore. That situation, that part of your life is dead. It's dead. Let it go. You know, I'll be talking about, I remember when I used to in UI as a lecturer in the Premier University. I'm no longer a lecturer at the University of Ibadan. No. That was what God told me. He said, shut your mouth and face the reality of your present time. Yes. God said, Moses is dead. Moses is dead. Get with the game. Get with the program. Moses is dead. It's time for you to arise. It's time for you to arise. It's time for me to arise. Whatever I was, I am going to be better. I'm on a better journey than I was before. Wherever I was before, that destination I had before, where I was, God is taking me to a new destination that is better and bigger than where I used to be. Bigger and better, where God is taking me. So stop looking back. Stop looking back. Because anybody that is driving with their eyes fixated on the rear view mirror, it won't be long before they crash the car. It won't be long. It won't be long. Keep your eyes on your present course. Keep your eyes on your present journey. Stop telling the stories of those days. They are distracting you from where you're going. Wow. It's like keeping your eyes in the rear view mirror. Joshua, God said to him, let me announce to you. I know you didn't see the funeral, but Moses is dead. In fact, if he was slow in moving, he arrived sooner than we expected. He was already with God. I have seen him. He's with me. His spirit is right here. Stop longing that he will come back because he will never come back. He's not coming back. On Sunday, I'll be talking about the three strategic people you need to arise in life. Amen? He said, Moses is dead. Quit talking about Moses. Quit wondering about more. He's not coming back. He's dead. He's dead. The body has started to rot. Nothing can bring him back. He's dead. He's dead. Moses is dead. You know, Joshua did arise from that position, and he never looked back. By the time you get to Joshua 10, Joshua was surpassing his master Moses. He's telling the son to stand still. Hallelujah. Moses never did anything like that. Amen? Joshua chapter 10 verse 1. Joshua said, I still have this battle to fight. Son, you cannot go down. Hold on for me another day because I have a battle to fight. There you have it. There is no record, no account of Moses ever telling the son to stand still. If he did, he didn't answer him. If he did, the son did not obey. It was the only time ever recorded in scripture. Why? Because he arose. If you don't arise from where you are, you will never get to where God wants to take you. You must arise. Speak to yourself. Say, I must arise. I must arise. I must arise. You know, when you read that text, it says, arise, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. You know, English is not my first language, but I know a little bit about English grammar and structure. When you look at it, it said, arise, shine. There's a semicolon. It says, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. What that is saying is because of the light and the glory, that you will arise. And as was said before me, God already assured us of the fullness of his glory. So if I already have the fullness of his glory and the light of God is shone upon me, then of a certainty, a guarantee, I must arise. You must arise. We will arise in the name of Jesus. Very quickly, let's look at the man by the pool of Bethsaida. You know, this story and a few other stories really challenges me. And I say, Lord, you know me too now. Just I've benefited like this before, but let it keep on going. Let's keep on going. Let's keep on going. Let's keep on going. The Bible says in John chapter 5, when you read from verse 1 to 16, Jesus came to Jerusalem, and when he came to Jerusalem, he decided to go to the pool, you know, market pool, the Bethesda pool, the five pouches. I don't know why he went, but he went. And when he got there, he saw a multitude of sick people, and he chose one. I want you to say to the Lord tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. In case you choose to pick one person tonight, pick me, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Unprovoked, the man did not ask any question. The man did not say anything to him. They were all there, and Jesus went to him. Will thou be made whole? Initially, Isaiah said, you will not tell foolish stories. You know, some people, you know, you have to put in fact, David said, Lord, put a lock to my lips so that my words will be properly filtered. I will not speak nonsense. Jesus said, will thou be made whole? He said, I have no man. Who asked him story? He said, do you want to be well? If somebody asks you, you are sick, they said, do you want to be well? Would you say, I don't have anybody to carry me to the doctor's office? That's what that guy was saying. That's nobody asked you about the doctor's office. Eh? Don't let's go there with Dr. Bode again. Nobody asked you about the doctor's office. He said, do you want to be made well? He started telling stories. But God had mercy on him. God will have mercy on somebody here tonight. Since not everybody is saying amen, God will have mercy on me tonight. In the name of Jesus. God had mercy on him. The Bible says Jesus looked at him. He says, okay, I have enough of your nonsense. Now, rise up, pack your bed, and go home. And immediately, he rose up, packed his bed at the intervention of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I think you should rise to your feet on this one and say a word of prayer for yourself. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, divinely intervene in my situation tonight, even now, in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray. That man did not ask. Jesus did it for him. How about when you ask him, will he not do it for you? Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, intervene in my matter tonight. Intervene in my matter tonight. In the name of Jesus. Intervene, O Lord. Intervene, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. Lekaradabo Santalia Ragada. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, King of Glory. Jehovah will intervene in your affairs. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It will overrule every work of darkness, of the work of the enemy. In your life, Jehovah will overrule tonight. And Jehovah will restore you. Jehovah will restore you. In the name of Jesus. Please take your seat. He said, arise. Friends, read the Bible. It's very sweet. It really is. Very, very sweet. Do you know when this man had been in that situation for 38 years, Sister Betty? 38 years. Impotent. They saw him there. It was a marketplace. Said by the sheep's market pool in Jerusalem. So people come in and go in, they see them there. They'll be looking at all the problem people and walk past them. Do you know after this man was healed? I'm going ahead of myself, but that's all right. I don't have much time anymore. After this man was healed, Anu, the scribes, because it was on the Sabbath day, they said, It is not lawful for you to carry your bed on the Sabbath. He said, who told you to carry your bed on the Sabbath? He said, the man that healed me is the one that told me to carry. They did not rejoice with him. They did not celebrate him. Friends, if you are looking for people to celebrate with you, you may look a long time. The people that were at the pool, the Bible says once a year, an angel comes to steer the pool, and the first person to jump in the water gets healed. You think they are celebrating if it's the first that jumped in? And they are still there with their own problem. You get the story. They were not happy. So when Jesus came to him, instead of them asking, Jesus, do for me, they were filled with too much anger. How did he choose him? How is he working? Is he really working? No, it's not real. It's for real. It's not real. It's for real. They will gaze a long time looking at you. In the name of Jesus. They will gaze a long time looking at me. Because God will restore you. God will restore me. In the name of Jesus. You know, some people, when they came to America, they didn't have big old pot belly. But God has been good to them. God has been good to them. Not me. I came with one. If I have lost it. The way I am now, I'm almost half the size when I came. I saw the picture of when I first came. My pants were like this. You know, they put me in front of the my wife's church. I saw that picture. In fact, I think I destroyed the picture already. Nobody can see that. I said, how can somebody be this fat? I was like, so when folks back home, when they see me, I say, Koye, how you doing it? You know, you didn't even add any weight. I said, it's the glory of God. It's the glory of God. And a little starvation from my wife, too. I said, no, you can't eat that. No, you can't eat that. They are restricting everything from me. But I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Everybody can see the work of your hand.
Swagger pastor.
Yes.
Listen. Listen to this. Listen to this. The scribes and the leaders, instead of them celebrating this man's freedom after 38 years of bondage, they attacked him. What I want you to know tonight is there are monetary spirits that don't want you to make it. Many people are wondering, why am I working so hard and nothing is working out? It's because there are monetary spirits that are standing there to ensure the gates are closed. You remember in Luke, I believe it's Luke 13, the woman that had been infirmed for 18 years, she's walking like this. Jesus always tested the religious people on Sabbath day. He said, should this be? In fact, the woman didn't even say anything. Jesus just looked at her. He said, woman, be loosed. Thou art loosed. And the woman was loose. And the religious people were incensed. They were upset. They were angry. But can I tell you something? They will be angry at your restoration, but there's nothing they can do about it. They will be angry, but they are powerless concerning it. In the name of Jesus. Let me give you one more example, and then I'll tell you some things that I believe you need to do. To take care of this. You know the story of Elijah. Elijah appeared before King Ahab. He said, there will be no rain upon this land but at my word. But I hope he will remember that he was living in that land, because everybody would be hungry, including himself. You know, but God provided for him. God sent him to the brook called Cherith. Cherith. He went to the brook called Cherith, and the Bible says, a raven of all birds. A raven is a carnivorous bird. A raven brought him food twice a day, and he was drinking from that brook. But the brook dried up. God said to him, Elijah, arise. The brook is dry, and the raven ain't coming back. If you stay here, you will die of hunger. You know, if he had not arisen from there, he would have died of hunger. He would have taken an act of God for rain to fall in the land, because God will have to override the prophet's word. But you see, many of us, we all do it, including myself, we always pitch a tent by our last success. That's why when Jesus took them to the Mount of Transfiguration, you know, Peter said, Master, it is good that we stay here. Let's build 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Let's just dwell here. We always like to camp by our last success. Some of us are doing good today, but you can do better. Amen? Where you are is comfortable. You know, and the example the Lord gave me a long time ago that I always give when I talk about stuff like this is, you know, you might be feeding. You say, I'm a very generous man. I take care of, 20 people. But God wants you to take care of a city. So you are comfortable. No doubt about it. You are comfortable. You can take care of yourself. And you can sponsor 20 children to school. But God is saying, I want you to take care of a city. Like the Bill Gates of this world. They send billions of dollars to Africa. Billions every year. They just send money. They send money. Billions. Some of the money those people send to Africa, it can take care of the budget for some nations. I know in Nigeria, it can take care of the budget for some states. So it means that guy is able to take care of a whole city, a whole state, a whole state. So never get comfortable with the success of where you are. Always seek the face of the Lord. Lord, what is the next thing you want me to do? Aspire to be better always. I'm going to wrap up very quickly because I'm totally out of time. Listen to this. Listen close. Number one danger of you arising, or the number one thing you must do if you must arise, is you must become restless. You must become restless. Listen. Anybody that is comfortable where they are, nobody is going to disturb them. Even God will not disturb you. Once you are comfortable, you like your situation, you know, I have one eye. At least there are some that are blind. So you are not praying to God to heal the other eye. He said, at least I have one eye I can see. Yeah, you can be grateful for one eye, but you can trust God for the other eye. Or you say, at least I have one leg. Some people, they don't have any leg. At least I can use a cane to support myself and I can be better. You are grateful, but is that all that God has for you? You must become restless. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 20, Genesis 27 verse 40. Listen close. Genesis 27 verse 40. If you have ESV, please pull up the ESV. Listen to this. The Bible says, you know the story of Jacob and Esau. Esau had tricked the father. He had taken all the blessing. Jacob had tricked the father, taken all the blessing. And Esau is begging frantically. He said, Father, isn't there any blessing remaining? Isn't there anything else you can do for me? He was begging frantically. Begging frantically. The father said, I gave your brother all the blessings. Everything I have given him. And then the father said this to him. This is Isaac talking to Esau. He said, by your sword, you shall live. And you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. Nobody is going to enter any breakthrough by mistake. So I just made it by accident. It's a lie. It's a lie. He said, nobody ever made it. He said, I just made it. I don't know. No, you did something. You are hoarding information. That's okay. Just say, I don't want to tell you. But don't say just a mistake. Which mistake? Nobody ever makes it accidentally. You are intentional and deliberate about it. He said, the day you become restless and you are becoming agitated, say, Lord, I don't want this life anymore. Lord, I don't like this life anymore. Lord, I want a change in my life situation. Lord, I need progress. Lord, I need to make it. Lord, I must arrive. Lord, I must make it. He said, then you will break that yoke from off thy neck. Hallelujah. Many people have settled. In Spanish, they say, qui sera, sera. Que sera, sera. Yeah? What will be, will be. Que sera, sera. What will be, will be. It's, you don't really have to do anything. If it's God, if God wants it, it will happen. Keep on living. Keep on living. Que sera, sera. What will be, will be. It will not be nothing. It will remain as it is now, so will it be tomorrow and the day after. But you will arise. Amen. I say you will arise. Amen. I say you will arise. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You have to be proactive. I mentioned the monitoring spirits before. You have to speak against monitoring spirits. Deal with them in the place of prayer. Every monitoring spirit that is monitoring your progress, every monitoring spirit, that God will deal with them. Amen. There are some people, they are using remote control to watch them, to monitor them, to monitor their progress. Every telescope in the realm of the spirit that they are using to monitor you, they are destroyed and shattered now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The name that is above every other name. In the name of Jesus. The fact that you have gone across the Atlantic has not set you free from them. You know, in the realm of the spirit, there's no distance. You know, but we have a power that is above all power. Amen. We have Jesus that is above all else. You know, but if you ignore the kingdom of darkness, you ignore it to your own detriment. They are there, but they won't touch you. In the name of Jesus. I said be proactive. You know, there's a story I love so much, and I'm going to wrap up with this. There's a story I love so much. There's a man in Scripture in Luke chapter 19. I know you know his story, Zacchaeus. In fact, there's a song about him. Zacchaeus was a very little man. A very little man was he. He went up to a tree for the Savior he wanted to see. And dun, dun, dun. I don't know it, but some of you, I see some of you know it. Thank you. Listen, Zacchaeus, listen close to this. I'm going to close with this. And this is the one thing you and I need. Once you bless you, you have this one thing, you have everything. You have this one thing, you have everything else. And this is the one thing Satan has seen to it that people don't have. The Bible says Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was passing by. How did he know? He found out. He was proactive. He asked questions. He asked people about the itinerary of Jesus. So they gave him his itinerary. He said, oh, Jesus is passing by Mobod. Remember the prayer we prayed in the beginning, knowing the time of visitation. He said, Jesus is passing by Mobod. You know what Zacchaeus did? Before everybody else, because he understood his limitation. He was a short man. He ran ahead of everybody else. Though a big man, a rich man, he ran ahead of everybody else. He climbed to the top of a tree. Why? He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. The Bible says certain Greeks, they came in John chapter 12, and all they sought was to see Jesus. All they wanted, that they may see Jesus. The Bible says they went to Philip and they said, that we may see Jesus. All they wanted was to see Jesus. Zacchaeus was proactive. He stood on the tree. He was hanging on the tree to see Jesus. Jesus looked up because he was proactive. The spotlight came on Zacchaeus. Hallelujah. Amen. The spotlight came on Zacchaeus. Jesus said, today, he said, come down. You can come down now. It's okay. You can come down because today I will eat and dine in your home. I will eat and dine in your home. Listen, Ephesians 5:14 says, awake from your sleep. Awake from your sleep. Awake. Many believers are sleeping. Many believers schedule double, quadruple shifts has prevented them from being warm to Jesus anymore. Many people, their story is like the story of the children of Israel. The Ark of the Covenant has been taken away. They don't have that joy of salvation anymore. They are still Christian. They are not committing sin. They are not living in sin. But they don't have that connection with Jesus anymore. Zacchaeus wanted a connection with Jesus. He gave it everything he had. He ran ahead of everybody else. He said that I may see Jesus. Does anybody want to see Jesus tonight? When you see Jesus, you will arise. There is no way you will see Jesus and you will be down. Why don't you rise to your feet this evening and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I want to see you. I want to know you beyond anything else that I've known about you before. In the name of Jesus. Why don't you make that your prayer tonight? That you may know him. That you may know him. Apostle Paul, having worked, having served him for so many years, written two-thirds of the New Testament, he concluded, he said that I may know him, that I may know him. I am not satisfied. I am not satisfied until I know more and more and more and more of Jesus, that I may know him, that I may know him. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you will restore the joy of salvation unto your people tonight. In the name of Jesus, the joy of knowing you, the joy of knowing Jesus, the joy of knowing the Master. In the name of Jesus. Talk to him, talk to him. Talk to him, talk to him. You want to arise. The number one thing you need to do is to know him. Know him in his totality. In the mighty name of Jesus. Many believers today are sleeping. They may be active doing stuff in church. It's not about activity. It's about your fellowship. Do you have a fellowship with Jesus? Does Jesus know you? Will he call you his own? The church may call you their own, but will Jesus call you his own? Will Jesus acknowledge you as his own? He said, on that day, many will come and say, we did this miracle in your name. We performed that sign in your name. He will say, I know you not, you workers of iniquity. I want you to pray tonight. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, more of you, Lord. I want to know more of you, Lord. I want to know more of you, Lord. I want to know more of you, Lord. More of you, Jehovah. More of you, King of Kings. More of you, Lord of Lords. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. Everlasting Father, I give you praise. I give you glory. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Brethren, please listen to me. That's why it was important to me in the beginning to show you those scriptures. We read Luke 24, 45, where he opened their understanding to understand scripture. And then we read in Luke 19, where he talked about them not knowing the time of visitation. I believe you understand that this is a time of visitation for you. I believe you understand that by now. If you do, and the Lord has spoken to you tonight, listen to me, you need restoration. You need restoration. I want you to come forward. I have prayed, and I believe this is the hour that the Lord will manifest himself in your life. You need restoration. It could be in your fellowship with God. It could be in your career. It could be in your profession. It could be in your marriage. It could be in your body. Maybe you are sick in your body. You need restoration. You need restoration. Whatever it is, I want you to come forward tonight. I want you to come forward tonight. In the name of Jesus, it is your hour of visitation. It is your time of visitation. It is your season of visitation. In the name of Jesus, your season of visitation. Just lift up your hands to heaven and say, Father, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Whatever visitation you need, why don't you talk to the Lord? You talk to the Lord. I'm standing in agreement with you. Believe me, all week, the Lord will not allow me pray anything else. It's just this prayer on restoration, that God will restore, that God will restore, God will restore. I want you to pray for yourself. Cry unto the Lord. Cry unto the Lord. Cry unto the Lord. Cry unto the Lord. Cry unto him. He that asketh, the Bible says he will receive. The one that asks, he will receive. The one that asks, he will receive. In the name of Jesus. For those of you that are right in front of me, you are in the front row. I want you to hold your hands together. Hold your hands together. In the name of Jesus. Lord, restoration. Jehovah, restoration. In the name of Jesus. Lord, restore. My God and my Father. Restore. 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 In the name of Jesus. You may please go back to your seat. The Lord will restore you. It is done. In the name of Jesus. The next row, please come forward. Join your hands together. Join your hands. It's corporate anointing. God will restore you in the mighty name of Jesus. I want you to be fervent in prayer. Just talk unto the Lord. Lord, restore. Jehovah, restore. In the mighty name of Jesus. King of glory, restore. Restore. In the mighty name of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, a renewal, a restoration. You will arise again in the name of Jesus. You will arise again. You will arise better than you were before. In the name of Jesus, Jehovah will make you 1,000 times better. In the name of Jesus. You may please go back to your seat. The next row, please come forward. It is your time of glory. In the name of Jesus, the light of the Lord has come upon you. His glory is risen upon you. In the name of Jesus, restoration, O God. Restoration, O God. I agree with you. The Lord will restore you. The Lord will restore you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Everything missing and broken, the Lord will mend. The Lord will restore. In the name of Jesus. Your life will be better than any memory you have. In the name of Jesus. You may please go back to your seat. In the name of Jesus. Continue praying as you go back to your seat. I want everybody else that is remaining, please let's form one single line and just join your hands together. E katakata, e korodobo. If you can pray in other tongues, I want you to pray in tongues, whether in the congregation, whether in front. I want you to agree, even in prayer, in the name of Jesus. Restoration, restoration, restoration. You will never know a better yesterday, in the mighty name of Jesus. E katakata, e prokosoto. Open doors. Open doors in the name of Jesus. Ye karada bakosoto. E katakata. In the name of Jesus. The Lord will restore you. In the name of Jesus. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. In the name of Jesus. The glory of Jehovah is risen upon you. Your light has come. Your light has come. Your light has come. You will shine. You will shine. You will shine. You will shine. In the name of Jesus, leposoto haradabo shantalia. Thank you, mighty God. In the name of Jesus, you may please go back to your seat. Hallelujah. 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 Please lift up both hands to heaven and celebrate Jesus. Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate Jesus. A renewal, a restoration is your portion. Even now, even now, even now, even now, even now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, King of glory. We magnify your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It is your season. It is your time of restoration. Jehovah will heal you in the mighty name of Jesus. The King of glory will heal you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Listen to me. I don't know who you are. You know, I was trying to second guess myself, asking God, but the Lord said, but what I know for a fact is there is somebody here, there's a problem in the abdomen. The abdomen. I'm not sure if it's the liver or the pancreas, maybe insulin production is gone bad, and you are now considered diabetic, whatever it is, you are healed already.
Yeah.
You are healed already.
Yeah.
Whatever abdominal problem, it can even be the womb. Maybe the doctors have said something about your womb, and they have said, oh, this is the reason why you cannot conceive or may not be able to conceive. That is old news. This is good news now. This is good news now. You will conceive. You will conceive in the mighty name of Jesus. God has taken care of you. And it is done. It is settled. It is final. In the name of Jesus. If you believe it, I want you to shout three loud believing hallelujahs. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is done, brethren. It is done.
Amen.
I will attend your party.
Amen.
When you are celebrating what the Lord has done.
Amen.
It will be so good, you will have to throw a party.
Amen.
I'm telling you.
Amen.
And you will tell your story.
Amen.
At that event. And I will be a witness.
Amen.
To say, I was there when the Lord did it.
Amen.
I was there, I was present.
Amen.
So shall it be for you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Welcome to your new you.
Amen.
I say, welcome to your new you.
Amen.
I welcome myself, Adekoye Sonny, to my new me. I welcome me to my new me. It is done.
Amen.
It is settled. In the name of Jesus, we're going to seal it with the communion tonight. The blood of Jesus is the final answer. The Bible says when he shed his blood and the blood dripped and it touched the ground, there was earthquake. Everything that needed to be shaken was shaken. The ones that was shaken, that needed to be out of, it was shaken out of place. And the one that was not in its place was shaken to place. As we partake of the communion tonight, understand that it is done.
Amen.
This is the ceiling. This is the ceiling. This is the.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.